thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy, Will T's out. What's going on, homie?
I'm good. I'm a little upset because Will T normally texts us when he wins fantasy football games. Him and I played this past
weekend. Oh, yeah.
I did. And he lost. You haven't heard from him. This is what I'm talking about. Be consistent. Whether you win or lose, either you're going to talk or you're not going to talk.
Have that same energy.
Right. You know what I mean? If he beat me, you know he would have texted me.
Like, of course.
Did he beat you already this season?
No, I don't think we even played
but
yet.
But he was real extra about the football garbage time guys.
Yeah.
He dominated. I'm like, come on, dude. I was waiting to hear from him. And the funny part is he jumped on me kind of early.
Yeah.
But Marvin Jones.
Fried.
Yeah, that was one that just happened because of a bye week.
Yeah.
If Odell Beckham didn't have a bye week, I probably would not have inserted him to a lot of
bets. Blessing of fantasy football. Things just happen, man.
And then we had somebody in our league who benched Aaron Rodgers. How dumb was that?
Who was this person that you refer? Like, was he playing me or this person?
Nah, he was playing your boy.
Ryan?
Ryan, yeah.
Oh, for real?
And Ryan didn't have a good day. The Patriots defense saved him.
Ryan getting W's off of nothing. I think Ryan and Hawkins.
He would have easily lost that game if this dude did not start. Who did he start ahead of Aaron Rodgers? Who did I tell you?
It was a garbage quarterback, too. I can't even
think
of
it. Oh, no. It was Josh Allen. He started Josh Allen in fantasy ahead of Aaron Rodgers.
Is this person quitting? I can't tell.
I don't know. He makes a lot of moves. He made that lot of moves. Not this past week because I looked at it. Because I just wanted to see who had him. I'm like, Aaron Rodgers had such a great day. I want to see who took advantage of it, basically.
Yeah.
And I saw this dude on the bench. I'm like, what the heck? That's crazy. But anyway.
No, my fantasy team, I did pretty well. I finally had a W. I needed one. I needed that in the worst way. So.
Yeah, you've been struggling to score points.
That's I haven't really looked
at your team, though. I just see your points.
It's funny. It's because Joe Mixon is like, I thought he would be good. He's been horrible.
His team has been bad. That's why.
And he's been bad in the process. Dude's getting like, he gets no touchdowns. He barely gets 50 yards. So it's like, for a running back that's drafted early enough, you would think, dude, give me some numbers. And he's been very
There's only one Maurice Jones-Drew, a guy who stands out on a bad team but gives you great fantasy
exactly.
numbers. You barely see that. Usually it's the good teams who are rolling offensively.
Well, look, what's the name? The Giants suck and Barkley will always give you good numbers.
We're talking about Barkley versus Joe Mixon. Come on, dude. I gave you the Jones-Drew example because he wasn't like
I did.
He was a waiver wire dude later in the season, but he balled on
You're
the
right.
team.
No.
I want to say Jacksonville might have been decent a couple years he was there, but I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, man. That's the only reason why it's been hard for me to score, man. And, you know, because I feel like, and Phillip Rivers and Brady, they haven't been consistent. Brady hasn't been that good either. I'm just trying to figure out my whole team. I made up some pickups that have been pretty good for him. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I see.
I got Jaguars. I got the Jaguars defense. That helped me out. Like, because my defense is
my running backs
bad.
Are. Yeah. I had Johnson for Detroit. He's out now for at least the next 8 weeks.
Yeah, he's good.
He's on IR.
For real?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dang.
So I'm looking for another running back at this point. I tried to pick up the Giants backup running back because I wasn't expecting Saquon to come back so quickly. And I started him and he got zero carries. So I'd be Will with a running back that had no carries.
I like how it goes back to how I'll
the
be
reason
real.
Why, the reason why I started him, though, is because Alvin Kamara, he didn't play.
Yeah. And see, look what happened. You still be Will.
I did.
You know what I mean?
Will T was real cocky. Like I said,
he's been very cocky this year.
And I don't even care much about fantasy football.
I know you don't,
as you
know,
because I lost one game this season because I didn't even know guys had bye weeks. I just wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
But you know, against him, I said, let me make a couple moves. And he has 27 moves. 27 moves he's made dropping, getting, let me get San Fran's defense. Let me do this. I know he tried to say he snatches people from other teams.
BS.
But come on.
You know what he's doing. He's trying to win. He's trying to win the game.
You're trying to make the playoffs. You're trying to win the championship. We have the same record, and he talked all that
all that
nonsense.
Smack, man. He talking all that smack, man. It's amazing. Like, when I'm looking at Will, and then he tries and he offers these trades or whatnot. Like, I was actually interested thinking
he's
about
not
giving
as bad
him
as Taj, though.
It's not. I'm sure he's not. I was actually thinking about giving him Diggs, like in the trade, but then who would he offer me? I was like, nah, dude, I don't want that. I want
now Stephon Diggs. Now he's turning the corner.
Now he's turning
you gonna
the
bench him against the Skins?
No, I'm starting him, bro.
Dude, not crazy.
I'm starting him, man. And Thielen may not play. That means he's getting all the catches.
We should have went to the watch party tonight, bro.
The watch party? Is it lit? I know a friend of mine went to the
last night
one.
Yeah, Nats Park. Well, they're having it tonight too.
Mm-hmm. All right, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, in iTunes and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Will T would normally say this, but he's not in the building. Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Stop.
It's what we have on tap. The Washington Nationals World Series matchup against the Houston Astros. The Nationals are up 1-0 in the series. Game two is going on now at 8:20. We'll talk about the Washington Redskins taking on Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings on the Thursday night. At 8:30, we'll talk about the Washington Wizards and their season opener against the Dallas Mavericks. It's opening week in the NBA, obviously, and we'll discuss that at 8:40. Finally, at 8:50, we'll make our Week 8 NFL picks. But first, the Washington Nationals took Game 1 of the World Series 5-4 against the Houston Astros. Thoughts on Game 1?
Well, that's what I texted you last night. Juan Soto is going to get paid at some point. I'm nervous that he's not going to be a National for a long time.
Yeah.
And this was the thought when Strasburg was young. Like, dude, Strasburg probably going to play for the Yankees at some point later in his career. He's going to make a ton of money. And he's going to win
Bryce.
A lot of championships.
Thought that about
now
Bryce.
We're looking at Juan Soto, who at 20 years old just seems like he relishes these moments.
Yeah.
First World Series, you can't ask for anything better in a young superstar player. He's in superstar status now already, only in his second season. I'm just amazed at the progression. He didn't stay in the minors long.
No, he didn't.
And that's always a great sign. But then he makes a deep postseason run with his team and just, again, he relishes the moment. Dude. It's crazy.
He reminds me. He's actually the best young player I've seen in a long. I mean, I would say arguably the best young player I've seen ever.
Since Barry Bonds, maybe?
No, ever. 20. We're talking about 2019 in terms of a professional hitter. Maybe the best. So I know the
Barry Bonds. You didn't think he was good?
Not at 20. He never played at 20. Barry Bonds went to college. This kid didn't go to college.
Oh,
well,
yeah, different time period.
Yeah,
you're right.
This is and.
I know you're talking about just age.
Age.
I'm thinking about, you know, just early success.
Nah,
but go ahead, though.
Griffey was too. But I mean, but again, at 19, 20, hitting as many home runs as Soto has hit, even at 19, and following up with 20, we're hitting 30, I think he had 30-plus home runs this season. And then, you know, getting over 100 RBIs. And then, like you mentioned, Ray, in the World Series, going 3-for-4 in the World Series, you know what I mean?
Hitting a massive home run. One of the hottest pitchers in baseball.
The best pitcher in baseball at the moment, hitting a monstrous home run to tie the game when this team needed him. The guy's amazing. Juan Soto is amazing. And when you're talking about getting paid and getting the bag, yeah, he's going to get the bag. He's a guy, like his World Series reminds me, and like, I remember years ago when the Marlins played the Yankees in the World Series, and this is when the Yankees.
Juan Pierre year.
Not Juan. Yeah, I'm gonna say this is when Miguel Cabrera, like, it was 20.
Okay.
And his breakout year, and he wasn't even the first. He was slimmer. That he played. I want to say he played left field because they tried to find a place for him to play because he was just, you know, they had to find somewhere for Miguel to play. And the dude hit a bunt, like the dude hit a home run in Yankee Stadium, and you knew right there that he was going to be a star. Like you said, okay, Miguel Cabrera is going to be a star. Juan Soto, we've seen it because we're local. Like, we see him pretty much almost every day. But I think the national scene now knows when they saw that home run and what he did against Cole, they're like, oh, this is a dog. This dude going to be here for years.
With the Nationals being on this stage now where they're being seen nationally, I hate to say that word back to back, but
you have no choice. You have to.
We talked throughout the season. We had Coach Butch McAdams on the show who, you know, at the time, he was kicking a man while they were down. The Nationals did not have a good record.
Yeah.
And he was saying they did not bring in anybody comparable to Bryce. And you and I were like, hold up. They have Rendon. He's like, who? He didn't say that. But
yeah,
I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah,
he's like, who is Rendon? And now the world is getting a chance to see Anthony Rendon on this stage. And I think it's also great. Even when he does not necessarily record and hit, he still shows how focused he is. He has like
that zen-like
focus, right?
Silent assassin, man. He's a silent assassin.
That's what I'm saying. He's about to get paid as well.
Oh,
but I'm just glad to see him be able to shine on this stage as well, because the Nationals, in my opinion, as much love as they get at times, they also don't seem to necessarily get that following around the country like a team like the Dodgers or the Yankees or the Red Sox.
Those
teams have well-established franchises.
Yeah, Blue Bloods.
Right. There you go. Perfect word.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just excited to see, again, the talent being displayed. And also, the bullpen seemingly stepping up. I know that Patrick Corbin last night just played such a huge role, and I know the Yankees are kicking themselves over and over again every time he watches dude. But as a starter, he hasn't been successful. I'm hoping to see that change in this series. Although, if he's going to play this sort of reliever role, and he's going to be successful at it, and you're winning, why change things?
Well, he'll still be a starter. He'll just get the one, because the bullpen is so, you know, jacked up. He'll get like one inning, so it's like a side session, and they can utilize him later on in the series in terms of a starter. But it's good because now it sets up your bullpen, like what you're talking about, Ray. It sets up your bullpen. You don't have to go into, you know, to players like Strickland, Suero, guys like you don't really trust. You can pitch Corbin in the sixth, go to a Rainey who was a little shaky against the Astros, but again, the Astros are a tough team. Like, I want people to understand
from top to bottom.
Like, Scherzer pitched well. Like, understand this. Like, Scherzer struggled and gave up, like, had like 100 some odd pitches in the fifth, like around the fifth inning, but it wasn't because it wasn't because Scherzer's stuff wasn't the best. It was that the Astros, their hitting approach is amazing. Like, you have to battle. And Scherzer said this after the game. You have to battle when you go against that offense. Like, those hitters, they're patient, they're powerful, and also playing at that ballpark, which is, like, to me, is a hitter-friendly ballpark. You have to be very, very careful when you're pitching against this offense. So Scherzer did a great job, and I think, you know, having that, like, have like Rainey not doing playing, like, not being sharp, giving up that home run to Springer. I think it's Springer.
Yeah, Springer. You got it.
Gave him the home run to Springer. That's not a bad thing. Springer again is a very good hitter, but to go into that building for Scherzer to give up only two runs against that offense, and for the Nats to win that game is amazing. And Dave did a great job. I think we also got to give Davey credit. Like, we got to give Davey Martinez credit. I've been negative on Davey. I think we all have been negative on Davey.
Rightfully so.
But at the same time, you give credit when credit is due. In this postseason run, Davey hasn't been good. Davey hasn't been average. He hasn't been good. He's been amazing.
With the moves you
just, with the moves he's made. I mean, the bullpen, go. Like
Rendon, two on, yeah, 0 outs anyway. Like,
Corbin. What you're talking about, Corbin? What he's doing with Corbin is a great move. Corbin, sixth inning. You got a 6 minute in guy. So boom, you're not giving up any runs in the sixth inning. So say even that. Say Scherzer or Strauss go six. You could put Corbin in seven, one inning, boom. Then you set up for Doolittle, and then you got Hudson or whatever way you want to go. Hudson, Doolittle, whatever the way you want to go after that, but you set up your bullpen correctly. You don't have to go into the guys you don't trust. You can now go to guys you do trust. Davey's been amazing. I
think Rodney might be Rodney and Suero are the ones that he probably doesn't trust. Trevor Rainey, again,
Tanner Rainey.
He didn't have a bad outing. Again, I think it's the Astros are Astros just are really tough
good.
Team.
No, I don't. Like, Rainey is good. I actually think down the road, in a couple years, Rainey will be their closer. Like, you throw 100 miles per hour, you got a slider, you're filthy. Like, he actually has potential to do something really nasty. So when I look at they're set. Nationals just Rendon just hit a double. Nationals are now up
2-0.
It should be 1-0. 1-0. No, 2-0. Ray is correct. 2-0. Rendon hit a two run double for 2.
I'm not paying attention.
It's all good.
I've been messing up names all week.
It's all good.
But I told you last night, though, the Dodgers. See, I'm messing up. Astros are never out of a game. They're never out of a game.
Well, especially like
right now, I'm sure Nats Park is going crazy. But again, this is the Astros. The Astros are lethal. They can come back at any point. But I got to give Tony Kornheiser some credit. I know we don't like to name drop on the show.
That's cool.
But again, we're here in the DMV. Mm-hmm. He called it on PTI. He said Max Scherzer is probably going to give up a couple runs early.
Yeah.
He said, I believe he said two runs.
Yeah.
He might have called it perfectly. He said, but he'll settle down, and I guarantee that the Nationals will have a chance. It's going to be a pitching duel, most likely, which is what everybody thought.
Yeah.
But it kind of wasn't. Anyway.
No, it wasn't. Cole got rocked.
Seeing that he was able, after giving up two very early runs, just similar to what Verlander is doing tonight, he was able to get out of jams, and he was able to show some poise in a situation he's never been in. Mm-hmm. Now, I also thought from a managerial standpoint that maybe he could have pitched a little longer. He doesn't have to hit bat right now. I feel like he could have pitched at least one more inning.
Oh, Scherzer?
Scherzer.
Nah, he's already over 100, 111, 112. You got to say, his arms already been.
I knew he was going to disagree, but that's why I said it.
No, I'm saying he's not.
I'm going to start an argument later.
You got to utilize, because you got to look at it at the end of the day. He's going to have to pitch again. and you don't want him to tire out.
Yeah, but what game though?
Game
five?
No, probably game four. Probably game four. Because you're going to have Strauss. Then you're going to have Sanchez.
Right.
You could keep Corbin. You could.
You said that earlier.
No, no, you could. It depends. It depends how the rest is. It depends how the game, how the series is playing out. So say if the Nats are up.
This is the World Series, dude. Nah, like one more inning.
Nah, because you don't know what's going to happen in game two. Like you gotta be careful when you're dealing with, especially with Scherzer, who's been worn out throughout this season and throughout the even after the game, he was like, you know, I can go. I went to my limit. I went to that level, and the rest was good for me because I had more in the tank. So what that tells me is that he's very cognizant of, you know what, I can tire out. You know what I'm saying? So I had no issue with what Davey did in terms of that move.
I feel like, well, I guess because it's game one. I feel like, let me ask you this. If it was game seven or if it was a closeout game, would you have kept him laying longer?
If he had to be dominant. He wasn't dominant, though. You know, if he was dominant, I agree. But he wasn't dominant. I'll be honest with you. If it was like that type of game, if I really, like, the way, like, put it this way. The way Davey wanted... All right, now I'll say it like this. Corbin, if it was the way you're explaining, Corbin would have pitched two innings. You dig what I'm saying? Like, Corbin would have pitched two innings. Like, I would have took out Scherzer, but I had Corbin pitch two innings. That would have been my play. If I really thought that my bullpen couldn't hold it down, like, Corbin would have pitched two innings instead of one.
Yeah. I'm thinking that this is it right here. This is basically your chance to win a World Series title. I feel as though, I hear what you're saying. I feel as though that you maximize your best guys regardless of the possibility of future fatigue when you know the offseason is right around the corner. Mm. But it is game one. You do not want to over manage, so to speak. So I'm not necessarily mad at the move. I'm just saying it's something that I would personally
do. No, I hear you.
But the outcome was still what it was. They got the win.
They
held on. And now you stole home field, which is good. But in baseball, to me, home field is not as
I will say it's important in this aspect.
Okay, why?
Because you take one game, and I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, and I'm sure I am correct, because I'm 95% right.
You don't show up even when you're wrong. That would be hilarious. You'll text us when you're right all day.
I didn't even text you the Astros beat the Yankees. I just kept it quiet because I knew,
dude,
you know, 95%.
Who's going to win?
Dude, I told y'all, like, off the bat. Like,
no, the Yankees beat them 7-0 game one. You text us right before the game started. Watch my prediction.
No, I said watch my prediction. This is what I said. I know what I said correct, and you can pull up the text. I said, watch how special the Astros are. We knew what I meant. We knew what I meant. We knew what I meant because I was incorrect. You're right. But I didn't say, like, Watch my prediction be correct.
I have no problem with that. You know that, right? Yeah. My problem is after the game was over, I didn't hear from you.
Huh?
Now let the Astros beat the.
I ain't had the same energy, I ain't had the same energy.
Let the Astros beat the Yankees 7-0 in that game, and you would have been Texas.
Bro, the
95%.
Look. I would have said 99%.
Just like I told Will, be consistent.
Hey, I was at 99%.
Now, when it comes to baseball, though, you played the sport. You have a love for the game. Play for Greenbelt, somebody.
Greenbelt
Tigers or somebody.
Greenbelt Tigers for a little bit.
So you love baseball. Me, you know, I was just a fan of the game. I love going to Memorial Stadium as a kid, even though Camden Yards was clearly an upgrade. Still one of the best ballparks.
Yeah, it is still one of the best.
In all of Major League Baseball. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking to myself that if the Nationals win this World Series,
mm-hmm.
not only is it going to help me, the casual fan, but also those who really weren't following baseball in the DMV are going to start to follow. They're going to start to buy tickets.
Agreed.
It's going to be amazing if they can pull this out.
It's definitely good for the city and good for baseball too as a whole. It's good for Major League Baseball. But on Facebook, just post, are you confident after the Nats won game one with Steven Strasburg pitching tonight? Keith posted on Facebook, very confident, but you still have to play the game. Their pitching is just as good as ours. But right now, Nats up 2-0. So
I saw that.
Devin posted, very confident. Let's get greedy, take game two.
I agree with that.
Yeah, got to their best, and let's see if they can get to our best. And Strauss is the best pitcher on our staff now. Yeah, I agree. I've always said this.
Well, a lot of us felt like,
this season,
at least for the remainder of the year, this season he's been the best pitcher.
So real quick before we go to break, your keys to a Nats victory? The Nats, they jumped up 2-0. Was that one of your keys mentally? Start fast?
No, because I feel like the Nats, from the beginning of this playoff run, they have learned how to overcome adversity. Yes. I feel like that's how you win titles. Mm-hmm. But now, against the Cardinals, you just knocked them out. Mm-hmm. This is the Astros. I feel like they get stronger, like Manny Pacquiao, as the game goes on. So the keys is use your bullpen properly. Mm-hmm. You know, use the right guys in the right spots. I think Davey, again, you said he's done a good job with that so far. He's used Corbin great. Use him again tonight if you need him.
So right now, Verlander strikes out Cabrera to end the threat. Nats are up 2-0 in the first, going to the bottom of the first. Key to victory for me is I think Strauss has to go six. He can go six and pitches the way he's been pitching. If he can, he can go six.
Barring it, he gets rocked early. He's going six.
Yeah, I'm saying. If he can go six and gives you that dominant six, I think series is game is over. And if they win this game, series is over. You heard it here. I'm like, series. They up 2-0. Series is over.
We went overtime. Sorry.
It's okay. We can go overtime. I'm trying to pull up my the next segment. See what the next segment is. Okay, I see what it is. All right. Tomorrow night is the Skins Super Bowl. We'll discuss it after the break. Listen to the
Urban Sports. Why are we asking that
for ages? You dig? Deuces. Because nothing else to ask. They suck.
Immaculate conception, I transform like this, perform like this, wish y'all you a new weapon. I don't contemplate, I meditate, then off your head. This that put the kids to bed. This that I got realness. I just kill shit, cause it's in my DNA. I got millions, I got riches building in my DNA. I got dark, I got evil that rot inside my DNA. I got off, I got trouble, some heart inside my DNA. I just win again, like Wimbledon I serve. Yeah, that's him again, the sound, the engine in his Leichenberg. You see fireworks and Corvette tire skirt, the boulevard. I know how you work, I know just who you are. See, use a, show on more trolley switch inside your DNA. Problem is, all that sucker shit inside your DNA. Daddy probably snitch, heritage inside your DNA.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray, Jeezy, and myself, Wole. Thursday night, the Redskins will be taking on Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. Is this game the Skins Super Bowl?
Hell no. it is significant because obviously it's Kirk Cousins, but also you got Adrian Peterson returning to Minnesota.
Yeah, yeah.
Case Keenum.
He's questionable though. I wonder if he's
going to
play.
Case Keenum going back to Minnesota. Case Keenum had one of his best seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Was it 2-3 years ago? The year that they beat New Orleans on that miraculous play. So it's not just about Kirk Cousins. However, blame it on Zach Brown to light a fire under this dude that I didn't think could be freaking lit. I'm serious. I didn't think it could happen. And now this dude is playing out of his mind. Yeah. And it's because of a former freaking Redskin. So there's added motivation. Thank goodness Jay is now on the sideline. Maybe he won't be as upset.
Yeah,
but when he sees that burgundy and gold, I believe he's going to have a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And if you can't run the football, it's going to be a long day in that dome, bro. I already picked the Vikings. I'm telling you ahead of time.
We all picked the Vikings.
But here's what I will say, and I mentioned this to you off the air. I do like what Washington is doing currently under the new interim coach.
Mm-hmm.
Interim coach.
Yeah.
They're running the ball much more. I felt as though they had a chance on Sunday. If Adrian Peterson doesn't fumble, we might be having a different discussion.
Yeah, agreed.
Because they were in the game. It was a nasty game. And as I talked about last week, this division still is winnable. I know Dallas, they beat the brakes off Philly, but we know Philly has their issues.
Yeah, the secondary sucks.
If you can somehow steal a victory, not this week,
but
after this week, if you can steal a few victories, you can gain some more confidence. You can continue to build on the momentum. I think you have in the running game on defense.
You would have to be on a vicious streak to even think about the East.
No, come on, man.
They 1-6, bruh.
Yeah, but the Cowboys are 4-3.
Yeah, but still, they're playing against the teams like the Skins and the Giants. They'll win a few more games.
Yeah, I know you're a fan. I'm not a fan. You have to try. You have to try to look at bright spots in what is becoming such a horrible season after you had so much hope for the defense and for your running game coming in. You had Geist returning, and you also added so many new pieces on defense. And it just felt like this is not what was supposed to take place. And, you know, blame it on the coaches, blame it on management, of course. But now you can't go backwards. You have to move forward.
Agreed.
And this Vikings team, while good, they've shown vulnerability at times.
Yeah, they have.
Now, with the offense playing at a high level, it's scary, but no Thielen possibly this week. So right? He ain't playing. I'm not even going to say possibly. I don't think he's playing.
It's a short week coming to hamstring. Typically, you don't. That's too hard. That's too hard of a turnaround.
That is a big weapon that they're not going to have. I want to say the Vikings running game is amazing.
Like Dalvin Cook's a beast.
There's no other way to describe it. So you're going to have to me, stack the box, and you're going to have to hope that your defensive backs can cover. Again, minus one weapon. And you got to put the game in Kirk Cousins' hand. That's what Zach Brown said.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying you're
going to be successful.
You're not necessarily going to be effective. It's not guaranteed. Yeah. But this is my strategy because if Dalvin Cook – hey, I'm an Atlanta fan. Dalvin Cook destroyed them.
He destroyed a lot of people, bro. It's not like the
Vikings were up 28-0, and I believe he had three of those touchdowns. Yeah,
look, Dalvin Cook destroys a lot of teams. Has destroyed a lot of teams. I have my fantasy football team.
So
a lot of
run,
lot of teams.
Keep running the football, Callahan, because you want to keep that offense on the field.
Agreed. On Twitter, we talked about, you know, is it the Skins Super Bowl? On Twitter, George tweeted, it would be if I thought the Skins had a snowball chance in hell of winning. They don't.
I feel like that as well.
On Facebook, Darian posted, this should be just a game that both teams need to win. The fans will blow this up. If Kirk underperform, Skins fans will say, I told you so. If Kirk lights it up, Skins fans will say, fire Bruce because we should have kept him. So,
the defense did get pressure on Garoppolo this weekend. Now, I know it was raining, but if you can get pressure on Cousins, we know Cousins at times can fling that ball.
You gotta. They're at times in certain situations, like they didn't bring pressure when they needed to, especially all season. I know, in key situations. And my thing about Kurt, and I think we've seen it here, if you let him sit in the pocket and get comfortable,
of course,
he'll be fine.
Comfort is his need.
Yeah, that's his thing.
He needs to have it.
Putting so much pressure on Kerrigan, Sweat and company to Allen and whatnot to consistently bring pressure with just four.
That's why Kirk has struggled in this division that he's currently in against the Bears.
Yeah. Because they come after. Yeah, exactly.
So agreed. If you're Minuski, can you finally just say, you know what? I'm probably not going to be here next season. Let me just make some moves.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
Let me just all out blitzes, safety blitzes, corner blitzes.
What do you have to lose?
Mix up. You're 1-6.
Bro, you suck. Goal. What do you have to lose? That's what I'm saying. Like, what do you have to lose? You're gonna keep a job. I don't even get why this is even an issue. All right, Case Keenum threw for Ray mentioned. You know, Case Keenum coming back to Minnesota. He threw for 77 yards against the Niners in Sunday's loss. If he looks that bad early, do you think Dwayne Haskins comes in for him?
No.
All right.
I believe that.
He plays out the whole game.
I believe Callahan is sticking to his guns when it comes to Haskins. And Haskins, his confidence looks damaged a bit just based off his body language. And it's amazing because he set at Ohio State and then he came in when he was ready and was a beast. I'm hoping he'll have the same outcome here, but I'm thinking that right now this is not what he was expecting his first year. So really, don't bring him into this dysfunction at this point.
Oh, I think he's coming in. He's gonna play.
This week?
No.
Are you talking about this season at some point?
No, he's gonna play. It's either this game. The vibe I get.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got you.
He'll play this game. If they're getting beat.
So you already know. You was asking me what I thought.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Like I think that no. This I don't. No. This is what I'm like.
I thought you knew just based on being in the building.
No. I'm gonna say this much. No, I think. After this game, he's definitely starting one way or the other. Like, I think Haskins is starting one way or the other. I think because they have a bye after Minnesota. So I think Haskins is going to play after the bye. But I kind of think that if Case struggles in the Vikings game, and we're talking about looks like as bad as you look as, like against the Bears or whatnot, that you'll get Dwayne in the game. I feel like Case is playing because it's Minnesota. That I do. That's how I personally feel.
I just felt like Callahan was saying, listen, I'm not going to throw this young man into a tough situation.
No, but he does think that Dwayne's getting better. If you're going to hand the ball, my thing is you're going to hand the ball off to AP like 30-some-odd times or whatever.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe it was Daryl Moose Johnston who was the commentator for this past Sunday's game.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I know you didn't know, but I mean, again, I was watching it on television. And he said, we watched Dwayne practice yesterday, and he clearly throws a better ball than Case Keenum.
Yeah, a lot of people say, yeah.
And if he is the coach, he's inserting him into the lineup to help him develop. Again, I personally disagree because of what the season has looked like thus far. However, under this current interim head coach who runs the football, maybe you have a chance.
Yeah.
You have play action opportunities.
So I'm saying.
You have better pass protection. You also put that man in a situation where he's not depending
on
his arm.
That's
so
all I'm asking.
I'm actually okay under Callahan. Yeah. I will say that. I changed my stance only for that reason.
Yeah,
if Jay was still the coach, I wouldn't put him in.
Look, I agree. I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. I agree with that. That's my whole thing. If you're gonna run the football, you might as well play the kid. All right. The Washington Wizards are taking on the Dallas Mavericks, I believe, like right now. We'll discuss that after break. You listen to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig?
Sports Night.
Deuces.
Yeah, I done did a lot of things in my day. I admit it, I don't take back what I say. If I said it, then I meant it. All my life I won a Grammy, but I probably never get it. I ain't never had no trophy or no motherfucking ribbon. Up the system, I'm that bend the law, cut the rules.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Ray, myself, Ole, Will T's out. Tonight, it's going down, like right now. In their first game of the season.
Like right now.
I know, like right now, bro. The Washington Wizards are taking on the Dallas Mavericks. What do you expect from the Wizards tonight?
I'm interested to see what their body language looks like. Historically, under Scott Brooks, this team seems to lack energy at times. Especially last season. I don't know why. Maybe it was because of the fractured locker room dynamic that existed. But I'm hoping that they come out with energy. I know Thomas Bryant throughout the preseason has been a catalyst.
Man.
He's been, he comes out ready to ball.
Yeah.
Bradley Beal fresh off that contract extension. I expect him to be hyped for this.
Were you
game.
Surprised with the extension? $72 million for 2 years, the extension?
Was that surprised?
Yeah. They actually got something done like that?
I was surprised. I was expecting him to ride it out at least until December to see what this season would look like to start. But he wants to be here, similar to what Damian Lillard wants to build in Portland. Like, why go team up with some other guys? I've established something here. Let me continue what I've started, basically. And I said to myself, I respect that a whole lot in this current era where people are, dang. Watching this baseball game, throwing us off. in this day and age where guys such as, we saw it last night, two teams. You had the Lakers and the Clippers where you got Bron and AD on one side and PG and Kawhi on the other. And it's like, wow, Bradley Beal is saying, I'm gonna continue to build off what I've already established in Washington. I think it's a great thing. And then I know the Sixers are and the Bucks are like prohibitive favorites, but the Eastern Conference remains wide open. Jay Williams said that on ESPN recently. The Wizards have an opportunity actually to make a run. Nobody's going to expect them to, and the Eastern Conference is open. Why not go for it? Oladipo coming back is going to be huge for Indiana at some point.
Yeah, sometimes.
But outside of those teams, even Toronto, who looked decent last night, although New Orleans, I think Alvin Gentry kind of blew that. I feel as though the Wizards have a chance, even with the defending champs being in the Eastern Conference. And obviously, they're not the same.
I'm going to talk about this baseball thing real quick. just real quick before we get back to the Wizards. If I'm Strasburg, I'm beaming this dude. I'm beaming Bregman, dog. That's Bush League. Like, the dude, like, walked in the World Series. That's disrespectful. That's over.
It's the World Series, bro.
It was over the top. It's the World Series. The way you act, you can act a certain way. I get being boosted, but come on, bro. A little over the top, man, with that Tom Ram trot, man. I'm a Griffey Bonds dude, but the dude was extra. He was extra with that. Even more than Griffey or Bonds or whatever. But anyway, I'm interested, man, to see what improvements Bradley Beal is going to bring to his game. I mean, I've always said that Bradley Beal gets better every year. And I want to see what he brings to the table. Will he be more of a setup guy? Will he set up his teammates a little bit more? We obviously know he can score the rock. Will he be a guy that can kind of make his teammates better?
That's a great question.
You know what I mean? I think that's something that, you know, we want to see out of Bradley Beal. Because I think it's in the NBA nowadays, scoring is it's set for a player to score, to drop buckets. But now, if you want to put yourself in a level where, you know what I mean, you're ready to lead a team and take a team to promised land or take a team to whatever, you got to be able to make your teammates better. That's why I give, you know what I mean, not everybody is like, you know, LeBron or Kawhi or, you know what I mean, like players at that elk, right? You know what I mean? That could just take their team and lead them to a championship or lead them, or, you know, Steph and Clay and whatnot. Like, not everybody can do that. But you have a bunch of individuals who just scored a basketball, and you're like, okay, they're really good basketball players, but not championship players. I want to see if Bradley Beal can take himself to that level. That's why I respect Dame Lillard so much. Stating, like you mentioned him in Portland, you know, they lost LaMarcus Aldridge, and what happened? He still made that team a postseason team. That team in a tough Western Conference would always be a 4-3 type of seed, and you look at the talent, you're like, how is this team a 3-4 seed in the Western Conference? But consistently, Damian Lillard
continues to get better,
and he's that staple. He's that guy that helps uplift his team to make his team believe that they can beat anybody in any series. So I want to see if Bradley Beal can do that.
Let me deliver a shocker here.
Go ahead.
Bradley Beal, that's the greatest question you could have him. Can he get his teammates better? Can he get them involved? But it's about the development of Rui Hachimura.
I knew it.
Now, we're all excited about him. You see the athleticism. Yeah, you see the shot.
Yeah, I see,
you see the defense. Mm-hmm. We know he's capable of, but he's still a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Without Zion playing, I feel as though he has a great chance of going after Rookie of the Year. But again, we know what Rui
that dude in Chicago. But we know Kobe White, man.
Oh, he's I'm not. I'm just saying. I'm focusing on Rui. But again, we know what Rui's capable of, and we know it's going to be growing pains. However, with John Wall not in the lineup, you're expecting someone else to have to step up. Correct? We thought Isaiah Thomas, our team, was going to be that guy.
Yeah.
But in preseason, it's been Jordan McRae. Jordan McRae cooked in the G League last year.
Yeah.
And in preseason, he's been cooking. Are you going to continue that hot scoring streak coming into the regular season? I believe he can do so because he's got game, and now he's more confident. So he might be a candidate for NBA's most improved player.
That's true. I like to see, honestly, like, this is speaking of Rui, him matching up with Porzingis. Like, that's going to be an interesting situation.
Porzingis got swole.
I know, bro. Man. I know. That's what I'm saying.
That,
like,
dude, but that's a good weight test. Room, bro.
That's a good test for Rui.
Rui can guard him, but Porzingis is, I mean, he's long.
Yeah,
he's
that shoot.
He can shoot. Porzingis is another beast. I wouldn't expect.
But I'm saying it's a good test.
You're saying to help him grow.
Yeah, help him grow. That's what I'm saying.
Like, how's Gary say? Are you expecting Rui to, like, to dominate?
Oh, no, no. I see all that, bro.
But you know what? Again, I love Rui, man. I'm so glad they drafted him. I'm just
told you,
man.
Look, I told you. We discussed this on a prior show, and I said that, you know, I didn't see it from Rui. But after watching preseason games, I'm like, yo, I see it. No, I see it.
For guys that don't know basketball, they're going to judge every little mistake he makes as a rookie. Every game he only has maybe a few points, or he has a bad game, they're gonna be like, oh, they shouldn't have picked him, they should have drafted Cam Reddish. But I'm telling you, this guy, the position he plays, the way the game is played today, it's perfect for what the Wizards needed, and I believe that he's going to be a good fit, not just this season, but for the long run.
And hopefully so, man. Hopefully so. I see the talent, though. I definitely see the talent. But it's opening week of the NBA season. We'll talk about
them. Go around the league a little bit.
Around the league. Multiple storylines.
I got something that we got to throw out there.
All right. Multiple storylines.
Got to throw it out there.
All right, man. You listen to Urban Sports saying, for Itis, you dig? Deuces. listening to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wole, Ray Jeezy, Will Tease out. All right, man. Last night, I would like to say that I think the NBA is starting off with a bang. Last night, the Toronto Raptors, you know, they got the banners, you know, they got the rings, banners and whatnot, you know, ring ceremony. And also, they defeated the New Orleans Pelicans in that game 130 to 122 in overtime. And then the Clippers took on the Lakers, and they beat the Lakers 112 to 102, and Staples Center was lit. Like, it was jumping. Like, you would thought it was the NBA Finals. Your thoughts are opening night first.
I have a question.
All right, quick.
For the people, DMV, is Jeannie Buss becoming the new Dan Snyder? Is Jeannie Buss becoming the new Dan Snyder? I asked this.
Why would you say that?
Because I believe that Frank Vogel is on a short leash.
Oh, you think so?
You hire Frank Vogel, okay, to coach a team now that has extremely high expectations. Mm-hmm. Anthony Davis is on your roster. Anthony Davis is the best big man in the league right now.
Yeah.
You don't go to him when you need him in the fourth quarter. He only has two shots.
Yeah, LeBron, none of them took shots.
To me, that falls on the coach. And yeah. I feel as though if you give this roster to, like, Phil Jackson.
Yeah.
Dude, I don't care. Because
he could coach.
Now, I know Kobe was younger, right, at the time, and LeBron's a little older. But think about the role players that Kobe and Shaq had around him at times. The Rick Foxes of the world, yeah. Robert Ory's. Everybody after last night saying, well, the Lakers need another playmaker. Well, when the Lakers were constructed this same way years ago under Phil, they didn't need a third playmaker, did they?
Nah, see, this is the thing. Like, I watched – so me and Al were talking about – go ahead. I'll let you go.
I'm just saying. So, to me, it falls on coaching. Anthony Davis needs to have the ball. He needs to get it often. He needs to be your leading scorer, your leading rebounder. He needs leading minutes, period.
Yeah. I mean, my thing about – all right, this is like, one, LeBron didn't play great. That's one. But it wasn't horrible. They did so many different things in preseason. If you watch in preseason, LeBron and AD on high screen roles were like, and Danny Green played amazing. Like, Danny Green was awesome.
Went to Carolina.
And Danny Green on the weak side. Like, they ran a bunch of screen roles, and it was difficult for most teams to defend that because you got to make a choice, like LeBron driving downhill or AD driving or going diving to the basket for a lob. They didn't do any of that. Like, they barely ran any high screen and rolls. And I'm thinking to myself, in the fourth quarter, like Ray, like you're mentioning, Ray, you got Anthony Davis.
Exactly.
High screen rolls. Make it easy. They gave the ball to Anthony Davis down the stretch, but they were double teaming him, so he passed the ball off. Well, he was scoring. They made it so hard for him to score. Like, make it easy. If you watch him, New Orleans, you watched him with Rondo in New Orleans, like, live plays, all of this. Like, you saw all that for AD, giving him easy baskets. He showed that he can post. We saw that enough. You saw that enough in the first quarter. Like, in the first quarter, he was in the block. He was getting the buckets. Like, be versatile with it. Like, don't make him score against three people. Like, high screen roll, dive the basket, live play. LeBron's an excellent passer. And if that's covered, they got another three-point shooter on the wing. Make it easy. I think that, in my opinion, in the fourth quarter, in the third and fourth quarter, they made it so difficult for AD to score.
Again, who does that follow?
It goes on coaching.
It comes down to coaching.
It goes on coaching.
This is why you lost last night, because Doc Rivers and his staff.
Oh, man, I'll tell you why they lost.
His staff, to me, is a better coaching staff from top to bottom than the Lakers coaching staff.
I don't know. See, this is my, like.
Sam Cassell, Ty Lue, you got two former.
No.
And then Patrick Beverly did make the point guard uncomfortable.
That's what it is.
He made Quinn Cook uncomfortable, clearly. And he just defensively, and from an energy and a leadership standpoint,
yeah,
he's the man, bro.
I hate that dude. But at the same time, like, I
he a dude that you wouldn't want to fight in the gym if you playing against him.
Yeah.
But he's also, bruh, if he's on your team, you like, I'm glad he's on
my team.
That's my
dude, man. Like, hey, you be like, he on your team, you be like, hey, go fool with that dude over there.
Exactly.
Go fool with that dude. You pissing him off. Go fool with that dude over there. No, I agree. Like, he's the type of dude that, yeah, you would want him on your team. I mean, I do think he's dirty as crap, though. I think he's dirty. Like, I think he's the type of dude that we play ball. Like, there are unwritten rules in basketball. Like, and you know what not to do. So you know what to not to do so for somebody to get hurt, right? Like, you don't want anybody hurt out there on the court,
right?
But I feel like Beverly don't care. Like, he don't. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to undercut somebody. You're not going to dip into somebody's legs. Like, he'll do that.
He's like Russ Westbrook. Once we step on the court, I don't care.
Yeah.
But off the court, I believe he's a genuine.
I'm sure he is. I'm just saying on the court, he don't care about your livelihood in terms of, like, your health. You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about dirty. I'm like, that's dirty. Like,
well, see, this is why guys like KD – and Steph had to shut him up by just destroying him.
Yeah.
That's how you beat him. You just fry him. But again, to me, like you said, put your team in a position to win.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if the Lakers start off slow. It's only one game, though. We don't need to overreact. Is it the Nuggets or Utah next they have?
It's the Jazz.
It's the Jazz next, right? Friday? Okay, so they have the Jazz next. If you start off 0-2 and you, theoretically your season starts slow, does Jeannie Buss make a move? Why did Jeannie Buss hire Vogel in the first daggone place?
Man. I like Vogel. He's a good defensive coach. I like Vogel as a hire. It doesn't bother me. Like, to me, I don't want anybody to overreact. Because one,
I'm not overreacting.
Not you. I know you're not. General, but other people are. Lakers fans are. Like, one, Ronald didn't play. He's your backup point guard. You could tell. Like, you've been talking about Patrick Beverley. That bot, when LeBron went out and they had to go to Cook or Daniels.
KCP.
KCP Daniels to be the primary ball handlers. That was a problem. But that was a problem. You needed Rondo because Rondo's the ball handler. He's a guy with a high basketball IQ in terms of finding people and facilitating. They missed that when LeBron went out. So Rondo is quite valuable, more valuable than I even thought, to be honest with you, for this team.
Oh, you missed Kuz last night as well. There were some issues that I know everybody recognized. Like, to me, Lonzo was missed last night big time.
But see, you're missed again because you don't have a backup point guard. You know what I mean? Like, LeBron as the one was great. Like, it was – everything was working. The offense was moving. But when he went out and you just had AD by himself, who's going to move?
Like, you're right. Obviously, my point being, going back to what I said about coaching, is even though you were so badly outscored by the Clippers bench, your bench was badly outscored by the Clippers bench, you still in the freaking game. You're right there. Yeah. So what does that tell you? Now, defensively, another thing, as a fan, this is just me as an NBA fan. I wanted to see LeBron check Kawhi more often.
Yeah, LeBron don't play D no more. Like LeBron we saw in
Miami. There's nobody in this freaking league that can guard Kawhi one-on-one. There's nobody. There is not one person.
Who can D him up?
Not one. No. One-on-one, no. Nobody. I know you can try.
Yeah, I don't know.
You can try to think of somebody. There's nobody that I can think of that can guard this man one-on-one.
I don't know, because Ben Simmons had the perfect body. He couldn't do it either. Like the body movement, the body size, and he couldn't handle it.
I'm just saying he's that real.
Nah, he real, man.
He's that real.
Nah, he real. And he real. No, I'm not going to be – I'm being flat out honest. He real.
And they didn't have PG now. I don't know how –
See, that's
why they made the game
everybody
different.
See that, and then, you know, we all, because you play ball, you know, like, just because you don't have a star, you want to know how they play together. Like, for instance, but all right, Kawhi, like, the way Beverly, all those dudes play Harold, if PG's playing, them dudes don't play the same because they're probably not in the game.
Harold ball last year.
Not Harold. Let me start. Not Harold. I'm
sorry. Lou Williams?
Lou always ball. Never going to say
Lou.
Okay. The dudes play for Portland.
Oh, Harkless?
Heartless, yeah. He don't get
more Harkless
because that's what's nice. That's Paul George's bird.
You know what I'm saying? I hear what you're saying. Now, Harkless,
because he could be
inconsistent, but exactly, you know, his energy level is always high.
It's always high, but he was in threes. I watched him in Portland. Like, we always talk about how certain people
those
don't
rare
shots.
Playoff games. He did hit threes.
Yeah,
those rare playoff.
Rare,
right,
you know,
of course.
What I'm saying?
And last night was opening night, dude. I mean,
yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, rare. But any other NBA storylines, man? We've been talking about the Lakers all day.
I told you. Hopefully people answer that question. The Sixers are playing tonight.
Yeah.
They're playing Boston. This is not the same rivalry, minus Kyrie and a few other guys.
Mm-hmm.
You got Kemba in the mix now.
I like that. I like that signing, man.
So Terry Rozier is gone. Marcus Morris is gone. But right now, they're behind. They're behind. They're losing to the Celtics.
The Celtics are good, though.
You got
that team is gonna be good.
Oh yeah, you got Jaylen Brown who got his bag. Now it's interesting how he played in international play. He played good defensively, but I feel like with his athleticism, his evolving jump shot, he should have been able to dominate at the international level. But anyway, he got his money. I believe that's gonna be a motivator for him. Philly's up one now. But I'm just saying this game in Philly. I'm wondering how long it's going to take Philly with Al Horford now in the mix and with the bench looking much different. No TJ McConnell coming off the bench. Obviously, Jimmy Butler's gone.
Yeah.
New pieces.
You got.
Is it going to take some time for them, Jeff?
Harris with a different role.
And you have what's his name from Philly? I mean, from Miami that just came over too. And
oh,
in
Richardson.
Richardson. Richardson, right. And Richardson, as good as he is, he can be inconsistent at times.
Yeah, he can play defense, though. He can play defense.
Defensively, they're always going to be good defensively.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I know.
Everybody's looking at Embiid's conditioning. There's a lot to look at. Ben Simmons' jump shot, which I'm not worried about that. He's just a good all-around player. Mm-hmm. How long is it going to take for them to gel as a new unit, basically, is what I'm asking. I'm just trying to sit here and look at the new pieces they have and look at how their team is constructed and say, mm-hmm. is it going to take long or – you know, is this Brett Brown's time to show how good of a coach he really is?
This is what it is. Got to show it. He got to show it. Like, this team is good enough. You know what I mean? Like, it's good enough. This team is definitely good enough. And it's just them, talent-wise, it's them in Milwaukee. That's what people are talking about, right?
Well, that's what I said earlier. You know but, I mean, Toronto probably is going to have something to say that because Siakam, look how good he played last night. I think he's going to have more.
You like the way he played? You thought he played all? I thought he was a volume scorer in that game.
Well, that's not usually his game, but think about it. He's basically considered the guy this season.
Yeah, I know.
I like what Van Vliet did. I didn't see that coming. You always loved him.
I ain't gonna lie. That I do. Like, I think he's ready. Like, I was more impressed with Van Vliet than I was with Siakam. I thought because he was more efficient. Like, Van Vliet was efficient.
Yes, I'm just saying Siakam is in a new role now.
Yeah.
So Toronto's gonna have something to say about, you know, them just surrendering the East, and then the Celtics as well.
Yeah.
And the Celtics are showing tonight that they're going to compete. I'm interested to see how Brad Stevens coaches this team without the same expectations. I think last season he lost control, which was odd to see because he's such a good coach.
I think Kyrie messed him
fractured
up.
That up. Yeah, fractured
I think
that,
he messed that,
that
up.
Team.
Now, Kemba is more of a humble – Kemba's not as high maintenance, and then Kemba will do whatever it takes to win because he's been losing so long and – with Charlotte, I think Kemba is ready. I think Kemba just wants to win. I think Brad Stevens and Kemba is a perfect fit compared to Kyrie and Brett. Kemba doesn't have an ego, man. He just doesn't have that type of ego.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what Hayward looks like. I know we've been watching that. So
that too.
If you have Hayward 75% of who he was in Utah, and
maybe 85%
in terms of athleticism, but last year he was like he was a shell of himself.
Yeah, you need 80, but at the end he was getting better though. His athleticism was getting better at the end of the season.
Tatum looks motivated.
Yeah,
Tatum Brown look defensively along with Brown, Kemba.
Mm-hmm.
They'll play well team defense under Brad Stevens. It's just a matter of are they going to be the same offensively without a go to guy like Kemba can take over games. Yes,
yeah, he can.
But not like Kyrie though.
Kemba could take over a game, though.
Like Kyrie?
Nah, Kyrie's...
Kyrie took over last season against Philly.
Kyrie could take over a game, but Kyrie can mess up a game, too. Like, he could take over him, but Kemba won't mess up a game.
Oh, you crazy.
No, Kemba won't
you
force
are
it.
Crazy.
No. What I mean is that Kemba won't go... if Brad Stevens is like, hey, he won't go off kilter. Kemba is not that... Not in Charlotte. In Charlotte? We're not talking about UConn Kemba. I'm talking about Charlotte Kemba. I mean, like, this dude more humble than...
No. I guess... What you're saying is he just stayed consistent throughout the course of the season, even whether they were winning or losing.
Yeah,
he never tried to shoot his team into the game.
He wouldn't do that.
I agree with that, but he always has been a high volume shooter.
Yeah, he's always he has. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that if Brad Stevens, and I'll say this, Brad Stevens can bench him and it won't look bad. Put it that way. All right, man. We'll make our Week 8 NFL picks after the break. Listen to Urban Sports Aid.
It's a weird transition.
I know. I don't
NBA
care.
To NFL picks.
You're damn right. This is Urban Sports Aid for Agent Shadig Deuces.
I'm a young money millionaire, tougher than Nigerian hair. My criteria compared to your career just isn't fair. I'm a venereal disease, like a menstrual bleed through the pencil and leak on the sheet of the tablet in my mind. Cause I don't write, cause I ain't got time. Cause my second minutes, hours go to the almighty dollar in the almighty power of that chopper. Sister, brother, son, daughter, father, motherfucker, copper. Got the Maserati dancing on the bridge. Pop it, tell the coppers, ha, 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 you can't catch them, you can't stop them, I go by them goon rules, if you can't beat them, then you pop them, you can't man them, then you pop them, you can't stand them.
You're listening to Urban Sports Team. You okay? With a... Ray Jeezy, myself, Olay, Will T out. Make sure you check out the Football Garbage Time podcast at www.footballgarbagetime.com. We have a weekly battle of NFL pick'em games with them, so make sure you check them out. Here's what we did in week 7. Will T went 11-3. Jeez. Ray Jeezy went 9-5. I went 8-6. So here are our overall records. Will T went from last to first. Will T is now first with 59. He's 59-47. Ray and I are 58 and tied for a second at 58 and 47. 58 and 47. Excuse me. Here are the records from the football. I'm going to tell town. Here are the records of the football garbage time. Ha-Koon Wong is 65-40. Ryan and Scott are 64-41. And Joanne is 58-47. Our homie George is 63-42. All right, let's make our week 8 picks. Ray and I, we both picked the Vikings, right?
Yes.
Let's not BS and that one. And I'm sure Will T did.
Yeah, he did.
Seattle Falcons and the Falcons.
I got Seattle. I'm sorry. Dan Quinn is over, bro.
I got the Seahawks. Eagles versus the Bills.
I got the Bills.
I think I picked the – who did I pick? I'm sorry. I go back. I got to check my own picks on that one. That was a little
difficult. It's in Buffalo. I can't tell. I can't pick Philly.
I can't even pick.
Though Philly can win, but I'm just saying.
I picked the Eagles. I did pick the Eagles. All right, Chargers, Bears.
I got the Bears.
I got the Bears. Giants, Lions.
I got Detroit.
Got the Lions. Buccaneers, Titans.
I'll take the Titans.
I got the Bucks. Broncos, Colts.
I got the Colts.
Colts as well. Bengals, Rams.
Rams.
Saints, Cardinals.
Saints.
Both got the Saints. Jets, Jaguars.
I got the Jets.
Got the Jags. Panthers, Niners.
I got the Panthers.
I got the Panthers as well. Browns, Patriots. Patriots. Raiders, Texans.
I got the Texans.
I got the Texans. Packers, Chiefs.
I got Green Bay. I'm sorry I picked Oakland against y'all last week. That was dumb.
I have the Packers. Dolphins, Steelers.
I got the Steelers.
All right, let's check what Will T had.
I'm sure you got the Steelers too, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't say. I got the, what was the team?
Steelers and Dolphins.
Yeah, of course I got Steelers. I'm sorry. Steelers, yeah, definitely Steelers. Will T, I know you just texted us. Here you go. Will had the like Ray said, Vikings, okay. Seahawks, Bills, Bears, Lions, Bucks, Colts, Rams, Saints, Jaguars, Niners, Patriots, Raiders, Packers, and Steelers. That sounds like is that the same as yours? Sounds pretty similar. I feel like these games are easier.
I picked the Panthers because their defense is actually really, really good.
It's really good. The Panthers defense is real good.
And even though it's a road game, I guess as a fan of the Falcons and a division rival, I did not like Christian McCaffrey last year, but there's nothing I can say to try to.
That dude is a baller.
You know, like he's single-handedly carrying that offense.
Yeah, he is.
He's going to run, I believe he's going to run the football effectively. I'll say that much against San Fran, which will limit their pass rush.
Yeah.
And it'll open up things for this young quarterback who is just excelling without Cam Newton.
I'm gonna leave Cam alone, man.
Cam, man. Cam need to cut his hand and just get back to the basics.
Yeah,
bro.
Back to basics. You're right. Sometimes, you know, that may be his kryptonite.
Elfrid Payton type hit.
Yeah, I know.
Elfrid Payton cut that joint.
Yeah, man.
Oh, no.
No, that's not a home run. It's just a lazy fly.
Adam Eaton, baby. Gotta love him. The Nets have no weaknesses. Maybe Suzuki's their weakest
hitter
in the lineup. That says a lot.
He was balling.
I'm just saying. I'm just talking about you can't find a weak spot right now.
I know. They're going to be.
Or the Astros, bro.
It's a tough series.
It's all about baseball right now. Hey,
you know it, man. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Anyway, thank you all for listening to the Urban Sports Scene. We appreciate it. But I have to end it off like this. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene for ages. You dig? Deuces, A Mega, lead us out, big homie.